This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Janet Wilson lost her home in the Waldo Canyon fire about a month and a half ago. So did many of her neighbors in Colorado Springs. She is checking in with us from time to time, and since our last conversation, Janet says she's learned some valuable lessons. One is, use the stuff that you normally reserve for special occasions. For her, it was a pen she got from her late husband.
I kept it in a box, never used it, because it was a very expensive pen, and it burned up in the fire. And remembering that pen, I thought, that's a lesson for me. If I have something, use it. My mother's china, not only am I going to replace it, I'm going to use it every day. So I've learned that if you have something, enjoy it and use it. The other thing I've learned is that when you have to leave a fire area, take the stuff that you cannot replace. A lot of my friends were laughing because their children were running to get their favorite video games, or I took my vacuum cleaner. It was a brand new vacuum cleaner. It was a Dyson, and I wasn't going to leave it. But you know, Ryan, I could have replaced that easily. What I didn't take that I couldn't replace were some of the pictures I had on the wall from Tehran, Iran, where I was born, that my parents had brought back with them. Those are the things that I wish now that I had focused on, not the things that I use every day that I could replace. And then the third thing that I learned was that life regenerates. That when people said, oh, you don't want to move back there, it's going to look awful, it's going to be burned for years and years, they're wrong. It's already regrowing. Life regenerates.
There's something both poetic and also literal about what you're saying there.
Yeah. Actually, Ryan, it's amazing. The green that's coming up through the burn, I'm speechless.
So you've decided to rebuild?
No, you know, actually, Ryan, I'm still gathering information. My primary goal is to be a good steward of my money. And so we're looking at what looks good, what are other people doing, what will the insurance offer us to recover our house. Now it's been almost 6 weeks since the burn, and we're just now sitting down with our insurance structure adjuster to really look at the dollars and cents in what the insurance company will provide for us to rebuild. And can we rebuild on that amount?
Are you frustrated with the insurance process? In other words, it's taken this long to get that structural meeting, adjustment?
You know, actually the insurance adjuster wanted to meet with me sooner than we're meeting with him. He is more eager to meet than I'm able to. But what's frustrating is life goes on. My job does not stop because my house burned to the ground. I still have to get ready in the morning and go to work and pay my bills. Life does not stop. That's what's frustrating. Because not only do you have your life that you're used to living, you have to add all these extra steps into it.
And let's be clear, you do not have a low-stress job. As I recall, you are a nurse in a NICU unit.
Yeah, I'm a nurse practitioner, a neonatal nurse practitioner.
An NP.
In a NICU.
Which is neonatal intensive care. In other words, you've actually taken on another full-time job.
Yeah, Ryan, that's well said. It is a full-time job. All of our spare time, we spend running over to this site to make sure that things are going the way we want them to. Because you want, like, for example, boulders. We had boulders around one edge of our property, and we wanted to, if we could, keep those boulders. Because I know it sounds crazy, but rocks are expensive. So we wanted to tell our demolition company that was working for us where we wanted them to move the rocks to keep the land shored up.
As much care as you're taking with the land, it sounds to me like you might be leaning towards staying.
It's a beautiful piece of land, Ryan. And we enjoyed being there. We didn't leave because we didn't want to be there anymore. We left because we had to. So we're not at the point where we're willing to give that up yet. Hmm. But again, I want to be a good steward of my money. And so if it's not conducive, if I would fare better to sell the land and move somewhere else, I'll do that.
I'm glad you mentioned about being a good steward again. I get the sense when I hear you say that, that this is a time when it would be really easy to blow through a lot of money.
Yeah, I think very much so. Very much so. I think it's a little bit like winning the lottery in the sense that you have all this money. You have to be careful because you have to sort of keep some of it in the background, some money in the background, to replace that which you don't even remember you need to replace.
Huh. What's an example of that, something that, you know, has occurred to you along the way?
Yeah. In the townhouse we're renting, there's a washer and a dryer. Washers and dryers are not inexpensive. Well, if you're in a townhouse that has one, you get complacent and you forget that you need to save some money to buy your washer and a dryer. And you could easily spend all the money and then say, oh my gosh, I'm moving into a new house.
I'm going to need one of those.
Right, right. And now I've spent all my money on a bigger deck and hardwood floors and a beautiful entry door. Now I don't have any money left to buy a washer and a dryer.
Did you get this advice from someone? It's so sage of you to be saying this.
My mother, bless her soul, my mother was a great steward of funds.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're checking back in with Janet Wilson, who lost her home to the Waldo Canyon fire. She lived in the Mountain Shadows development, which was hard hit in that fire. And I wonder if you've seen much of your neighbors in Mountain Shadows.
Actually, we have. We have a monthly meeting from our street, and we call each other up, and we say, have you heard this person is coming back to town? Or have you heard that this church is giving laundry basket and gift certificates to victims of the fire? So, yes, we speak to our neighbors, our immediate neighbors, at least once or twice a week.
What was the laundry basket?
Doesn't that sound mundane? But you know what, Ryan? I need a laundry basket. I miss my laundry basket because it burned up in the fire. So they're giving out a laundry basket, the First Presbyterian Church, with goodies in it, like gift certificates and things that you would need to recover what you lost.
I never would have thought of that. It does seem like the most mundane thing. And then when you get your head around it, you realize, wow, it's kind of indispensable, you know?
Absolutely. Like that salt and pepper shaker. Who doesn't have salt and pepper in their cupboard? Well, I didn't.
I'm following, you know, the developments around this fire, and it's still unclear how it started, as far as I know, right?
Yeah. They're still unclear. There's a lot of suspicion because, you know, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck. So there's a lot of suspicion that it was arson. Now, to prove it is another thing.
How much like mental energy do you spend on this topic or not?
Me? Not. None. I relinquish that worry to the police officers and to the National Forest Rangers that are looking into it. That's their job, and they do it very well. I don't think I need to worry about it.
Lord knows you have enough to do.
Well said. Yes.
Janet, thank you so much for talking with us again.
Oh, my pleasure, Ryan.
Janet Wilson of Colorado Springs lost her home in the Waldo Canyon fire. As she told us, recovering from a wildfire can be a full-time job, and not just for residents, but for local governments, too. We're going to check in now on recovery efforts at this summer's two biggest burns, so the one in the Springs and near Fort Collins, the High Park Fire. An immediate concern was getting fire victims into temporary housing. After the Waldo Canyon fire, El Paso County was able to play a role, says spokesman Dave Rose.
We did have some success working with the local realtors so that individuals who were insisting on a one-year lease backed that off to a six-month lease.
Rose says the arrival of monsoon season, which brings those afternoon thunderstorms, means there's urgent work to do in the charred neighborhoods people had to leave behind.
Trying to mitigate, minimize, and deal with the aftermath that's caused by these heavy rains and flooding.
Because scorched earth and wet weather can make for powerful erosion, floods have already damaged some homes that survived the fire. As for those that burned, more than 340 of them in Colorado Springs, What remains is a potentially toxic mix of materials and minerals, and officials want to make sure that gets removed as soon as possible. Again, Dave Rose.
The city of Colorado Springs has approved a number of cleanup contractors, and they are proceeding very aggressively to try to get all of that debris removal done by the end of this month.
And back to Janet Wilson for just a moment. She's been a part of that cleanup effort and has gotten her property in order.
The first thing you have to do is, I guess, secure that lot. So we had that demolished. And now to go back to the lot, it's just a flat or graded dirt mound.
As she told us, Wilson hasn't decided if it makes sense to rebuild. And according to Dave Rose, the El Paso County spokesman, it sounds like a lot of her neighbors are still on the fence, too.
One permit has been issued by Regional Building for a complete rebuild.
The Waldo Canyon fire also hit businesses hard, especially ones that depend on tourism. A new campaign called Welcome Back Colorado Springs aims to draw visitors to the area again.
The Pikes Peak region welcomes you back to the beauty of the Purple Mountain Majesty, to the adventure of the great outdoors.
Now, more than 100 miles to the north in Larimer County, Gary Darling is overseeing recovery from the High Park fire. It claimed 259 homes. Flood prevention and cleanup are also priorities there. Darling says some donations are paying for dumpsters to make that cleanup easier. And then there's getting the word out about how to file insurance claims.
Inventorying all the property that they lost, the terms that are used in the insurance agency, how to document conversations, those types of things.
Larimer County and several nonprofits have been figuring out how to fill in the gaps, as Darling puts it, so making sure donations are spent on things that make a real difference for the fire victims, and ensuring the funds are readily available.
Right from the get-go, it's a little bit hard to get the money all in one place so it can be distributed easily.
Darling says the folks who really need help are those who didn't have homeowners insurance or a job when the High Park fire roared through in June.
Probably what's even more troublesome is how are these people going to get by and survive for a fairly long period of time.
Darling expects rebuilding to take anywhere from 18 months to 3 years. For now, Larimer County is providing food and clothing and is helping folks find a place to live. And this week, the federal government approved two more measures to help the recovery overall. The Small Business Administration will offer loans to some of those hurt by the fires and by its effects, like floods and mudslides. And FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is offering grants.